Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
This is Johnny Gwynn. Scott Tindall will be in shortly, and we are here with Beyond the Blockchain. Welcome to this hour of AI, crypto, and blockchain, and a little weirdness. Phil, how are you doing?
I'm doing weird, but okay.
Okay. As usual, so much news. We have two segments of news. Let's just go ahead and run the news rundown for the first segment.
Greetings and salutations, tech heads and crypto enthusiasts. This is Johnny Gwynn with your two-minute turbocharged of AI and tech news rundown that actually hits your life and your wallet. Strap in. We're live. Story one, Elon's xAI just launched Grokopedia, Wikipedia's leaner, meaner twin. No edit names, stripped down design, and Musk says it's already outsmarting the old guard. Your edge. Start citing it before your boss does. Future proof your credibility. Story two. PayPal just slid into ChatGPT. First wallet inside the bot. Say, send mom $20 and snap, done. Daily win. Skip the app shuffle. Keep life frictionless. Story three, Microsoft now owns 27% of OpenAI at $135 billion, with OpenAI pledging $250 billion to Azure. OpenAI being nonprofit history. Now it's a for-profit juggernaut. Market heads up, Microsoft just got a turbo boost. Story four, Amazon's cutting 30,000 jobs. UPS already axed 48,000. SkillShield, learn AI prompting, teach the machines, don't get replaced by them. Story five, a solo miner hit Bitcoin block 920,440, which is 3.141 BTC, and as of today, this is $359,614, all from open source gear in his garage. One node, one Raspberry Pi, and one self-hosted pool equals one huge Bitcoin jackpot. Common thread, AI and crypto are rewriting the rules. Automate the grind, master the tools, own the stack. The future doesn't wait. It mines, it prompts, it pays. That's a wrap for this week's news roundup. This is Johnny Gwynn signing off. Stay sharp, stay ready, and keep your eyes on the skies.
Okay, so that was done by 11 a.m. this morning, and there's probably 15 or 20 more stories that we'll have in a second that's even faster. Today was crazy. Did you see what NVIDIA did, Phil? They partnered with Uber. They partnered with Palantir. They partner with at least five or six different companies. NVIDIA will be how we know the word Apple, Microsoft, Atari back in the day. You know, yeah. There was these massive tech companies that kind of dominated everything. That will be, NVIDIA already has the chip that everybody wants. They're already building all the AI centers. Everybody can get their hands on them. But what they're also doing is the CEO of NVIDIA has made a deal with Palantir, which is making sense of all that power. And this is not a financial show, but you need to look into owning that stuff. Now, yeah. NVIDIA, this is not financial advice. I'm just saying it's that idea of it will be a part of almost everything that will be innovative.
Yeah, how are you going to avoid?
You can't avoid it. Right. Yeah. They're layer. So it's all what's called layer ones. So right. It's at the bottom of everything. So whatever sits on top of it, there'll be NVIDIA and there'll be Palantir. Uber is actually going to work with NVIDIA to make new autonomous cars with the best chips, right? So yep. I love the idea, though, of the idea of the chip maker being in bed with the developer so that they both have something skin in the game to be able to thrive. But NVIDIA obviously is, you know, that stock has split so many times already because it, you know, used to be in the thousands and they made it down to hundreds and now it's at 200, right? It became a $5 trillion company today.
I'd still invest in Tesla because even though the stock is going to keep going up.
Tesla, yes. And we'll We're not talking about, we're not, yes, Tesla will also be, we'll talk about robots in the second and third segments because there's a new, again.
I was just thinking of Grok, the AI there.
Today, a new Neo robot was announced in China today that will be available for $20,000. And it will, again, it's very.
It's not expensive. I mean, no, not at all. $20,000.
Oh, it's $500 a month for the subscription service. I guess it's part of the renting, like you rent your phone. But it seems very, from the reviews, it's clunky now. But again, as we know, we'll get better and better. And I actually have been around someone recently that is pitching the idea of an Apple store for robot apps. So you can actually download new things for your home computer, your home robot soon. So it's the future is here, people, and it's no longer sci-fi. Nope. We will be back with Scott in a few minutes.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Well, this is Johnny Gwynn sitting in the captain's chair today, but actually Scott is on his way in the studio now. Oh my goodness, he's flying in like a comet, like 3i/Atlas.
Yes.
Circling the sun and being discovered to see from the telescopes of Earth. Scott, how are you doing, buddy?
Man, I am happy to be here. Thanks for covering, you know, while getting us going. I was coaching some 8-and-under softball, little Municipal Park Peaches. I will report that I felt comfortable leaving because we were up 13-2.
And there a slaughter rule at some point?
There is, but it's fall ball. So it's like, you know, we're just all there out there having fun.
All right.
We just happen to have, you know, exceptional coaches.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, clearly.
It's got to be the coaching. Because
when you're dealing with 8U softball, it's the coaching that really matters.
I would imagine it is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you've got one first grader that can nuke the ball to the fence.
Yeah.
That's irrelevant.
Yes.
It's
now is this co-ed or only
it's all girls.
Only young ladies?
All young ladies.
All young ladies. Okay.
But it's fun. We have a really good time with it. And but hey, I listened to the first part of the show while I was driving in.
Facebook post,
huh?
That was your Facebook post.
That was, yeah. So I was listening to the show driving in, and one of the wonderful modern marvels of technology.
What, radio?
Yeah,
terrestrial radio.
Like, you know,
unbelievable.
What? I get excited about really small things right now. I've been thinking about this. Like, I've been trying to put things in perspective. Let's say that what some scientists say is right, and this place has been around 4.5 billion years.
Yep.
And then let's say that humans have been around, I don't know,
right,
11,000 years.
Or 100,000.
Something
or
like
or
that.
Whatever. What, yeah. But I now get to live in the age of knowing the simulation and aliens are real.
You don't know yet. I'll know tomorrow.
Oh, baby, that's what this show is all about. This show is all about letting everybody know what tomorrow's going to look like.
This could be our last. You wanted to make sure to be here tonight because this could be our least last normal show.
It could be our last
normal
show.
Could be it.
Yeah, this is the reason I rushed away from the ballpark because when we were talking yesterday,
that's right.
I told you, I was like, man, I don't know. I got this thing. And you're like, yeah, I can handle it. And then I was like, but 3i Atlas tomorrow is the big news. Did you see the Rogan episode today?
I was working. I was being a capitalist today.
You won't. There's nothing you will learn new.
Right.
That
we haven't.
That,
we haven't already.
That
read.
We haven't already talked about.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's interesting for the listeners that listen to Rogan's podcast that have not heard of that. We've been talking about it for 6 months.
Yep. 3i/Atlas. Again, it's the cosmic traveler coming through our galaxy that they think is 19 billion years old. And they're not quite sure what it actually is right now.
So I love this. In Ali Loeb's conversation today,
look up.
They said, so it's called, here's how it got its name. 3, because it's the third interstellar object.
That's right.
I, interstellar. Yep. But the interesting thing is, Oumuamua, which was the biggest one we've ever seen, mm-hmm. was about 1.5 football fields in size.
This was the size of Manhattan.
Yeah, if you've been to Manhattan,
it's like 300,000 tons.
You know it's bigger than 1.5 football fields.
And also it's changing color. It's also blinking in Fibonacci number sequences.
Oh, I saw it. Dude, I saw a video of this guy. Yeah.
That's what they say. Again, you can't tell because there is a lot of bad AI stuff out there that says, oh my gosh, here's the first shots from Japan, the telescope, and it's not real. But
here's why I know that's probably could easily be right. I saw a video of orca whales. No, maybe it was blue whales. But they were using the Fibonacci sequence to blow bubbles in a spiral underwater to start forcing bait fish to be eaten. And they mapped it. And they're literally blowing numbers in the Fibonacci. They're blowing circles in the Fibonacci numbers.
So that goes to what Palantir was talking today with NVIDIA about ontology.
Yeah, communicating with animals.
And using nature as a lot of its basis.
Yes.
Which is so crazy.
Well, here's what we know. We don't know anything.
Correct.
That's what we know.
Yeah.
So now if you take AI and its ability to run through a tremendous amount of data, because we're humans, we can gather data. Well, it's fine. But we can't analyze the data fast enough or comprehensive enough to really make a difference, right? Because just one brain. Well, I really believe Palmer Luckey, who, by the way, looks like Joe Dirt to me.
Like, who's Palmer Luckey?
Andrel. He's the Andrel co-founder that's doing all defense work. Yeah, but he's also doing he's got it's basically a Dr. Doolittle project where it's talking to animals. Specifically what we believe to be highly evolved animals like whales and dolphins and primates and elephants. But they think that in the next 5 years they will be able to communicate back and forth.
Oh, we're going
to
all be vegetarians.
Well, what's going to Well, what's going to happen for certain?
And then they're going to find out celery can talk to us. We won't be able to eat celery either.
Well, that at least that'll be 10 years from now. But what's immediately going to happen is
plants could scream.
We're going to say, "Oh my gosh, these dolphins we've kept in these little bitty pools.
Oh yeah,
have been like slaves.
Yes, of course, they're prisoners."
They have the understanding to understand that. So the other interesting thing, and this actually came up on Rogan today with Ellie Loeb, was they said, well, we don't eat highly evolved creatures. And then Rogan's like, well, we do eat a lot of octopus.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And octopus are, they are basically aliens. Yes. We don't understand them. Yeah. We can't explain their DNA. We don't know how they can clone themselves.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Have you seen the cuttlefish? They can make itself look like a human face.
Oh yes,
it will freak you out.
It's not. That is.
It's not okay. There's nothing about that that's okay.
The heck out of me if I was in the deep and that thing came at me.
I scared me watching it from the comfort of my living room.
Okay, so I read a book recently, or was it a TV show? I didn't read a TV. I think it was a TV show, but it was about someone using the cuttlefish DNA to make like a suit that would make you invisible.
Yeah, why would it not? Of course.
Well, I mean, I didn't know much about the cuttlefish until I heard that. Yeah.
It was like, we're going to take some really interesting technology that exists in nature already.
Well, I'm sure those writers aren't dumb. They probably figured out what real technology, even though it might be way out there, could I use in this story to make it more real?
Well, dude.
And they say, oh, we'll use there is some research about how cuttlefish, we can use their whatever, their genome, and make this technology.
All I got to do is watch a gecko change from one pattern of brick to another pattern of brick when it walks across my porch. We don't think about, do we realize that these animals literally look like whatever they're in front of, and then they move in front of something else. They're like, yeah, I'm just going to look like that now. No big deal.
Well, I did see something that was a David Bowie art exhibit that he did in the late 90s.
I love it.
And I don't know how he did it in the late 90s because it had a robot arm to it, but it was a plant that was hooked together with this robot arm with a knife. And if you went and looked at it, it would start stabbing at you.
Mm.
I'm not kidding. So like, 1998.
So they have
Herbie Hancock rocket. Remember 1940 had the robot.
Yeah, but that was a robot. This was actually powered. It was a plant.
Well,
stabbing at the thing, looking at it. That was, I guess, what he was trying to show. That it had this impulse to protect itself.
Elmer Hubbard started that. The whole thing that we can detect a plant's emotional response to people,
and then they became Scientologists.
Well, don't go down the rabbit hole of mushrooms and their understanding.
Oh, that's right. Isn't that the largest organism in the world? Yeah. Is a mushroom under the ground that goes for like a whole continent or something?
Yeah, it's
basically an X-Files episode about that. Underneath the.
It's real though.
Most of my science, STEM research, and education came from X-Files.
Oh yeah, me too.
Most of mine comes from the early 2000s HBO. So like True Blood, the Vampire Show. Yeah.
Now I did watch a lot of In Search of when I was young, but In Search of also told me in like 1970. Leonard Nimoy told me that we would be in an ice age by 1990, and that obviously didn't happen.
Well, Bill Gates, did you already talk about this?
Well, I posted today with the repost of when Bill Gates said, you know, actually climate change won't actually end humanity. Obviously, that money has dried up across the board.
Well,
they just saying, I guess we need to move on from the climate change.
I think we're going to look back at this USAID whole thing and realize everything was manufactured.
Of course, it was a color revolt.
It was all government funded manufactured BS.
Well, again, how come we're not hearing like that Category 5 hurricane is brutal looking right now on
Jamaica?
And if this would have been a year ago, all we would be hearing is climate change, larger storms, worse storms. We're all going to this, we're all going to that, climate change. What? And I haven't heard a word about it.
I will say, I think that's because Trump has put them on the defensive so much.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're like, crazy about a ballroom.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're anti anything.
Yeah.
They're anti anything.
Presidential bunker under that.
The blessed Obama built a $400 million basketball court. No one said a word about that. A basketball court. Oh, you know who's going to use a basketball court? Any president. They're all, I mean.
Well here's the thing. You can look at a lot of these things and immediately decide if it's politicized or not. Right? Like, and if it's not, we can put it in a different category. But if it's politicized, like, I'm just like, I don't even worry about it because cartoons, all right, this is from The Simpsons, right? Cartoons don't have to be consistent. Yeah. Politicians are cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Especially our president. What I'm saying is, cartoon.
They can say one thing one day, the next thing another day, and it doesn't break the theory or the universe.
There's no canon.
There's no canon. I can say whatever I want from one day to the next.
That's the lick the finger, hold it up to the wind, and see how it's going.
Populism. So here's what's crazy. All right, so we've got November 1st. We're going to see a snap not be distributed. Do you know what percentage of people inside the city of Mobile?
I don't know Mobile.
Rely on SNAP.
I saw national. I'm going to say 42%.
Yeah, 45 million.
No.
In Mobile.
Just in the city of Mobile. Yeah, not Mobile. The county, just this
I'm
going
to say 42%. Is it a percentage or is it a number you're saying?
I'm going to give you a percentage.
Okay.
It's 21%.
Okay, all right.
But it's 40% of children.
Right.
40% of the children in the city rely on SNAP.
Yeah. What I saw was elderly
We just happen to have a large population of children.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting.
I will also say, and this is horrible, but it's true. If you rely on the government for anything, prepare to be disappointed.
Yeah. Well, here's where I'm going with this. All right. Here's my point. If you think it doesn't affect you, maybe, except it also results in 25% of spending at grocery stores.
Oh, and I saw where Walmart's 25% of all their sales were EBT and SNAP.
And you know who that comes from? Their employees.
Yeah, right.
So
a lot do. Yeah.
So Walmart should really be. If you wanted to have a congressional hearing, you'd have a hearing and say, "Why do you keep all your employees at 28 hours instead of 30? You never give them more than 28 hours.
But you're never going to see that. You're never going to see that.
Of course not. But you know what? Maybe you will because
they
right now
they donate a lot of money to.
You know who's both losing? Sides. You know who's about to lose a ton of money? Hmm. The health insurance companies. Because if these subsidies are not extended, they're going to lose a ton.
And those are COVID subsidies, correct?
A little before COVID, but they were set to expire intentionally, and they never renewed it because here's the only reason it got passed was if it had a sunset date. Right. So the Republicans agreed to join it
if
it had a sunset.
Yeah.
And now they're living with the repercussions of that decision 7, 8, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people say that, like, this shutdown is not stopping before the end of November. And a lot of the reason is because the health insurance companies. So the Democrats have two things beating down on them. They've got the socialists that are going to primary right. them.
Yeah.
And then they've got all the money that they already have that comes from pharma. So they're getting hit from both sides of don't quit.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens. But I don't think the Republicans are going to blink.
No.
Well, there's no incentive for them to blink right now.
And this is not a group. It's the first time ever Republicans, either. I will say, that know how to fight back.
Yeah. And this is not a political show. That's just a...
Yeah.
Here's what we're dealing with.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you on the back of the break.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Scott, there was a big news this week in quantum computing.
Big news. You know what's really interesting? I was talking to somebody about this earlier. I said, man, did you see the story about quantum computing? And he was like, there was like four. Which one? And I was like, I was like,
this is the big one.
Well, that's what blew my mind. And this is something we talk about all the time. We should always talk about all the time. It's like every day there's a new banger of a tool, or there's some new crazy, legitimate scientific breakthrough or announcement that comes through. And it just doesn't stop. Like, sometimes I feel annoying texting people, like, here's the next thing. So it's like, if you want to do,
here's the next thing today.
If you want to, it'd be 10 texts a day. And so then you're like, I can't do that. So how do I ration myself?
So this is the Quantum Willow chip, and it's made by Google. And I tried to make this understandable.
Okay.
And I even said, explain this to me like I'm a 10-year-old. And I still, we can listen to this.
Well, quantum computing is complicated.
And then we'll have to talk about what the heck he's actually saying. Yeah, so we'll go ahead and run it.
It is quantum computing.
This is Agent Poe, live from the quantum shadows. Google's new operative, codename Willow, just pulled off the perfect crime, stealing secrets from the past. 65 qubits strong, Willow cracked a case in 2 hours that would have kept the supercomputer frontiers wetting for 3 years. Picture this, a bank vault of spinning coins, quantum coins that land heads, tails, and both until you look. The vault's alarm is chaos. Coins flip wildly, patterns erased. Normal computers try to guess the original combo by brute force. Forget it. Willow's play? 1. Let the coins scramble forward, heist. 2. Tap one coin with a feather-light glitch. 3. Reverse the tape. Quantum entanglement rewinds the whole mess. 4. Read the echo. Faint vibration patterns spill the exact starting lineup. That echo? It's the fingerprint on the glass. Willow just reverse-engineered quantum magnets and molecules, like lifting a criminal's mask from a smudged security cam. Agent Poe, real-world payoff, NMR on steroids. That's nuclear magnetic resonance, the MRI-style scan chemists use to map atomic structures inside molecules. Willow's echo lets them zoom into hideouts across huge compounds. Taste the cake, get the recipe. Why you should care, tech enthusiasts. This is the first real proof that quantum machines can solve problems classical computers literally cannot, no matter how many supercomputers you chain together. The era of quantum advantage just went from hype to hardware. Computer industry. Every chip maker, cloud provider, and software giant now has a new benchmark. If Google can rewind chaos today, tomorrow it's optimizing logistics, cracking encryption, or simulating entire chemical plants in minutes. The race to scale qubits just got a finish line. Business. Faster NMR means faster drug discovery, better batteries, and smarter materials. A pharma company that cuts years off R&D saves billions. A battery startup that models new chemistries overnight disrupts energy markets. This isn't science fiction, it's ROI. One hitch, Willow's mic picks up static. Errors get scrubbed in post. But the proof's in, quantum's first clean getaway from chaos. Agent Poe. Willow didn't break the bank. It broke time. Case closed for now.
So, Johnny, what I think is really interesting about this is, first of all, Agent Poe just always delivers. It's just a pleasure.
Except for my editing was terrible.
Well, it's a pleasure to be a part of his team. Yeah. But the second part is what we need to talk about more that people don't understand is the acceleration of change. And the way we've always thought about change happening is going to be entirely different over the next 5 years. But also, there will be tremendous breakthroughs that are not widely available. So here's where I'm going. I think in the next 5 years, we will basically, quote unquote, cure cancer.
I don't think so.
Well, here's my point. Scientifically.
Yeah.
I think scientifically, I'm using giant air quotes.
Oh, you're saying like we found something to look at, but can we execute it to actually do it?
I think we will know the answer.
Right.
And I think we won't be able to execute it at scale. So the answer would be like, could you take a mice and cure any form of cancer? I think in 5 years, the answer will be yes.
Yeah.
What will the timeline look like to be able to deploy that to humans at scale? I don't know how we predict that. Like, the world is changing. Like, it's amazing. Every day I wake up, we do this show. And I go, well, there's 35 things I'd like to talk about to the dozen of people that listen to this show. But I don't think that people who spend as much time thinking about the stuff that we think about have any idea how fast all this is about to change rapidly.
Well, also, we don't handle disruption well. And if as all humans, comes certainly at not. Once, it's going to be one thing after the other. And then my idea is like, we don't handle change well. We don't. Everything we think we're adaptable, but we're not good at first.
Well, how are we going to adapt when we're going to break the education system, the healthcare system? We're breaking everything at once.
Will it break the education system?
I don't
see it changing.
No,
I don't see it changing, man.
Nobody's going to college when you can't get a job after college.
Well, all I'm saying is you'll have
the teachers' union
sitting there going, you're not bringing AI into my classes.
Hold on. That's different. That's just babysitting.
Okay, all right.
So if you're asking me if government-sponsored babysitting will exist,
yes.
Government-sponsored babysitting
been around for 200-plus years.
Will exist. My point is it will look different. But you take like higher education, like – this year, 58% of college students can't get a job after graduation. What's that going to look like a year from now? And if I'm a high school junior, senior, am I going, do I not? I don't know. The point is, I don't know, and no one else does, but now extrapolate that across every industry. We just saw Amazon laid off 30,000 people.
Yep.
UPS
48,000.
So, I mean, it's like, all right. So,
the list I got today was actually 34 companies, and none of them were below 3,000. That's how many were laid off in the last 2 days.
Call that a million?
Yeah. Let's just say a million. But by the way, the Amazon workers were not even warehouse people. It was mid-level.
They're white. Yeah, they're white collar.
It was mid-level. Yeah, it was managers.
Mid-level
yeah.
people. They're just doing their job.
Yeah.
Those are the people that are going to eat up. If you're a mid-level manager doing your job, you're about to get
If you have the word analyst behind your name, trouble. If you have the word consultant behind your name, very, very in trouble. And you better start learning how to use these tools and then get rid of everybody as you're in your consulting firm and you just be the consultant and have maybe an assistant or something or not. Just have all your AI agents ready to go.
So I don't know where I saw it. Somebody posted it, but it was basically like the best way to future-proof yourself is like – you don't have to know as much AI as everybody else. You just have to know more AI than anyone else.
And
in
you
your
live
business.
In an area that will not adopt it, and it will not adopt it even when they need to.
Right. So just be the one person in your business that understands AI, and you'll be fine. You'll be the very last one.
Yep.
And in a community like ours, you'll be here forever.
So Sam Altman. So this was on Fox Business today, and I don't remember the talking head's name. It was one of the beautiful women on that network. But she said that Sam Altman said at a recent conference that she was at, and they are used to hearing about the warehouse workers and the analysts and all the right of that AI is going to actually change that world. It's going to be like a nuclear bomb going off.
Yep.
He also said, oh, I forgot, also carpenters and also construction workers.
I mean, the robots are going to get
them. Everybody was like, what? In the room, like, what? And he goes, oh, the robots are moving so much faster. I can't imagine. He goes, I can't believe how fast the AI and the robots are going right now.
So I read this week that the problem with robot technology at the moment is not their textile skills. It's not their ability to do things. It's the ability of the software to train them to do things. So if we know that the bottleneck is the software, and we know that the software is increasing exponentially, you should assume that the software problem is going to be solved within the next year at the very least, probably 3 to 6 months.
Well, because art is abstract.
But call it a year.
Because art is abstract, that's why they aim to wipe out art first, because if it starts from the abstract, you know,
well,
down.
All right, so I'm not even talking about art, but if we want to talk about art, here's a good example of art. So there was a recent study, actually this week, that mm-hmm. said people who were given music to listen to, they had to decide if it was AI or human.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think there was accuracy prediction of new music? So there's different metrics. There's music that's like old-timey music, meaning like, you know, from the 80s probably.
Yeah.
70s, certainly.
From the 80s. Well, it's ancient.
Well,
I know what you're saying. 70s, 80s.
But 80s. So there's a different metric on old music. There's a new metric on new music. So if you've never heard a song, you say this song has been newly created.
Quantized. Or
what
quantized
percentage
the
of people do you think get it right if it's AI or
I got you. Okay,
human?
Yeah.
Human created. New music, AI or human created.
Yeah.
What percentage of people get it right?
Just tell me. I don't know.
Very small. Very 50%, small.
50%?
Right. Yes.
Half and half.
But also,
sometimes they get it right. Sometimes don't.
But even before we get into the idea of AI created music, you can't believe how much synth and how much what I would say is electronically generated music is already part of the lexicon of what we understand.
I've heard some a jazz piece that was entirely AI generated. The guitar sounded real. The only thing that didn't sound real was the saxophone, oddly enough. But the guitar sounded exactly like guitar. There was no more of that guitar synth keytar sound. No, it sounded exactly like an electric jazz guitar.
The point with AI generated music is keytar sound is part of the equation, right? I'm assuming you're going to auto-tune me or whatever. Okay, and then can I tell?
Right.
And the answer
I would think it'd be easier with like a very full song. Sorry, it'd be harder to tell a song that's fully produced instead of someone singing just a voice and a guitar.
Now,
see what I'm saying?
I have no idea.
You can hide behind all those frequencies. You can hide the AI.
Yeah.
So the simpler and the more raw it is, the harder it is to get for what would be how computer generates it.
Yeah,
it's already
I have no idea what they were evaluating, to be fair.
All right. Well, that was a great segment, so we were all over the place, but we will be back. Join us when we come back.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
This is Johnny Gwynn and Scott Tindall. This is Beyond the Blockchain, and we are in our fourth segment, which is Beyond the Blockchain.
It's my favorite segment. Every week, it's my favorite. Johnny, at some point, we will get the AI to go cut up all the shows we've ever done and take our beyonds and see that we're not as crazy as we seem.
You know,
because we seem beyond. I know normal people in our normal lives don't think we're crazy. But when we go beyond, some people do.
Look, we talked about the story that won't go away, 3i.
3i Atlas.
Slash Atlas.
That thing's been going on for 3 months.
Months ago.
Maybe 6 months ago.
And now it is in the lexicon, and it's on Joe Rogan, and it is a lot of things, and we are waiting by the hour to see if supposedly the nation's telescopes of the world can see this object better at whatever trajectory it is at coming around the sun. And we're waiting to see if we will find out that our world will be turned a little upside down with that. Oh, my goodness, that's a vessel, not all right. a comet.
It starts to slow down.
I've already got the answer to this question. Mm-hmm. But what do you want to happen? Do you want it to be an interstellar object passing through, or do you want it to be an alien craft that's approaching us?
No, I do not want an alien craft approaching us because I think we would have stock market issues. I think we'd have all type of we've already got too much chaos in the simple things of life.
That's why.
How about something that is so existentially different than we can understand that? And I think there'd be a lot of panic.
It could be. It could be like. An alien artifact, like something millions of years old that's dead. It's like a dead alien artifact.
Either way, can I counter that a little bit?
Of course, man. It's just an opinion.
Mm-hmm. I think if what I believe to be true is true and that we're living in a simulation, I want to live in the most exciting simulation possible.
You can't get the microphone up.
That means... Give me the aliens tomorrow. Tomorrow. I am putting it on the record on this radio show tonight. Tomorrow, give me the aliens.
I think it'd be more fascinating because when you go into the dead ship, you can turn it back on like 100%. Automated systems now, back
wanna,
up. And
if it's dead aliens, I want to know. If it's live aliens, I want to know. If it's an interstellar craft that's passing through, I will be bored.
I
will be like, why
did
we waste so much time worrying about this piece of rock flying through the air? I could be worrying about college football, which Johnny says he would stop worrying about, and then his Twitter feed while he was in Vegas said he will worry about college football.
I was watching the game at a sports book.
I know you were.
And I wasn't overly critical. I just said, this is what Alabama looks like on third and fourth down. And, you know, I was like, it was true.
You weren't overly critical at all. It was just a good opportunity for me.
Yeah.
When Bama lost to Florida State, who cares? Nobody cares about football anymore.
Well, I made,
now Bama keeps winning. Everybody starts caring again. Hold on. Didn't care.
I managed to make a whole lot of jokes that week with AI with, you know, defensive linemen wearing tutus.
Those were good.
It was very fun.
Those were great. Remember Exley, the alien baseball player in the X-Files?
And I don't
X-Files,
remember that one.
Yeah. That was great. He never aged. He kept playing through the leagues.
Scott, the thing I'm saying is you have three young daughters, and you don't want them to live in a world where we don't know if we're in control of our own we at least want the illusion of control, I'm saying.
You ever seen The Hunger Games?
Yeah, I've seen The Hunger Games.
My daughters are going to be the ones that win.
Okay. Well, so I'm sorry they have to be in that environment at all.
Maybe so. But if they do, the ones that are out there like sharpshooting people and getting things done, that'd be my kids.
Like
I don't want that. I don't want it, Johnny. But if it does, we're ready.
Okay, so in the Joe Rogan Avi Loeb interview, they talked about the wow signal, right, from 1977 or 79. I can't remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, he said that they think that the signal might have come from 3i Atlas.
Well, was it?
And it had to do with
an
angle.
The same spot. Yeah, it was
an
angle. Same spot.
And does the angle have to do with, like, that's the way a ship would travel to avoid, like, some type of radiation or something?
It was the angle of the dangle.
So
here's what it was. So what they said was, in 1977, when the wow signal came through, the 3i Atlas would have been in the exact same spot.
Oh, I gotcha.
Down to a percentage of, well, that's unreasonable. I don't remember what the percentage is.
I gotcha.
But it was a percentage of... It's real unreasonable that this object would have been
in space
this
being
place.
So big, even if it was a million miles off, it'd still be in the space.
It'd still be just a relay.
You know what the wow signal is.
But the point was, the odds that this thing to be would have been around this place when this signal came through, real low. It could come from a million different things, but odds are real low.
So what if they say tomorrow... Breaking news, we think there is a space vehicle that has turned its
aliens
trajectory
autopilot.
Earth.
Yeah.
It could still be on autopilot.
What are you doing? Are you going to work tomorrow? What are you doing? And of course, we're going to be all watching the TV. I'm just saying, how do you react to that?
If I knew aliens were here right this minute.
Hold on. We don't know what it is. It's just something turned its trajectory just to
tomorrow.
Us.
I just go back to work tomorrow.
That's the same. Set on autopilot.
Tomorrow I go to work.
So what if that thing does turn? How many days until it gets here?
I don't know. Like, it's not a lot. It's like maybe
it's traveling 160,000 miles per hour.
I think
hour.
It's like 4 months. It's not a lot of time. It's like sometime in the spring.
Oh, but we would just know.
If it turns directions tomorrow,
yeah,
we will know. Because it cannot – all right, yeah. So here's the science
it's supposed
and the
to
math.
Pass, like, Venus and Jupiter.
That's right.
And, yeah.
So the science and the math says if it comes around the sun tomorrow and keeps going, nothing to worry about.
Right.
If it turns 100% –
because that's so unnatural, it's unbelievable.
The math does not make sense that it would turn tomorrow. So if it turns tomorrow,
is it slingshotting around the sun possibly?
Yes, but if it does, it's because it maneuvered itself to that position. So it would not
slingshots naturally.
It would not anomalously put itself in that position.
Well, it's
so we'll know tomorrow.
It's fascinating, awesome. And I sent.
Then we'll have about 4 months to figure out your answer of, and then what.
Well, you know that, again, I don't know what's real and not real on X because
I don't know
ever,
what's real and not real
confirmed.
Anywhere I read it. But I don't.
Did you see the thing where NASA, where somebody like set off the like.
We don't have time for this, Phil. We got 2 more hours of this show to solve this problem.
Interplanetary defense system? What is all that about?
I don't know.
Anyway.
All right. Well, hey, this might be our last normal show, but we enjoyed y'all being here. I'm Johnny. That's Scott. And this is Beyond the Blockchain. And we will hopefully see you next week.
Well, that was fun.
Yep.